Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Babe. I am your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls.
Lara.
And I'm here with an icon, a star, a freckle in space. It's Aunt Freckle.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're back for more.
I can't get enough.
I know. I like to put you to work.
That's true. That's true. Are they aware of the last
If you're a sexy, unique podcast patron, I did a bonus episode, a pretty iconic bonus episode with Freckle, where I bribed her with a Bloody Mary and an Adderall to work, work hard. Right. And we answered reader mail, and she sang a few songs.
It started with like a potential like scam of like, can you get this Bloody Mary? And you were like, yes, if you work.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right.
I like a trade-off.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a workhorse.
It's like a quid pro quo, Freckle.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like, too, the way that you ordered that Bloody Mary. It was very demanding. You go, there was a waitress that walked by. It was like old Hollywood style.
At the Nomad, mind you.
Maybe I was just absorbing
the atmosphere.
I'm having some beautiful pancakes and just enjoying my morning. And then Freckles saunters over with some hot boy in tow who we saw literally once in the lobby. And then I don't know where he went.
I'll answer that in a bit.
You looked at this waitress, it was not even our waitress, and you go, Bloody Mary, Tito's. And then she goes, oh yes, right away. Oh, they were very,
Well, that's good.
They aimed to please.
I'm sure what you missed was probably some deep sensual eye contact we had.
I mean, she knew that you were zeroed in.
I would never just shout at.
No, but it was definitely like,
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary, Tito's.
And she was happy to get it. And a side of bacon, I think.
Mm-hmm,
which
I
thought about later. I was like, I didn't just work for a Bloody Mary. I worked for a Bloody Mary and bacon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for recording that episode.
Of course. My pleasure, treasure.
You can hear it if you become a patron of Sexy Unique Podcast. We also tried to record another episode,
a spinoff.
But that mostly ended up just being you lounge singing
Judy numbers mixed with like my own numbers.
Yeah, with your own lyrics.
If anyone's dying to hear that recording,
I could post. I'll post it on the Patreon.
I want, if it's in demand, only if someone wants it.
I feel like people will want it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll post.
But
it's
you're
like
worried about...
it's 5 minutes.
Okay.
It's like it's very short.
Okay. You just don't want to sabotage my
I don't want to sabotage your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Or yours.
Or mine.
We also did a Vanderpump episode.
Yes, we did a Vanderpump episode.
Which I thought was thrilling because I had never seen the show before, but I watched the episode like a hawk.
Yeah, and you have a lot of opinions, so.
Naturally, yes.
I knew that you were a great guest to have.
On humans on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stage. Yes. I like my performers with pizzazz. Honesty.
You love a stage.
Charisma. I'll take a yell, a fight, a scream, but it's got to be done well.
Right. Yeah. And I think the Vanderpumpers do that well.
Well, we got me on a tricky episode.
Yeah, you were on a tricky episode, but
they were bedazzling like floor lifts.
They're like
birdies.
Scooters or something.
Wasn't ready for that.
No.
Wasn't ready to watch.
Down tempo.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, I always relish an opportunity to make content together.
I do too. My Patreon wizard. Is time for the plug.
Yeah, Freckle has a Patreon now.
Yes.
I set it up.
I didn't even know what it was. I need it. Yeah. I needed it like an angel. I was gonna looking up dog walk apps. I mean, granted, I'm
you're a whiz with animals
for shows on HBO. Yeah. I mean, I got some stuff in the works, and I've had some projects in the past. Mm-hmm. Feel free to Google Jason Green Freckle. But when I need immediate fast cash, and Lada came to my rescue with a solution.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind. And I knew the thing that would hold me back would be setting up the first steps.
Yeah.
And Lada helped me. Held my hand. Held her hand to the key and typed it.
And typed in everything that needed to be typed in. But I was happy to do it. I feel like you have a lot of content that people haven't seen that you can share. Yes. And
is
a lot
it
of
live now? Do we know? That's
it is live now.
Okay. With zero subscribers.
Like, I'll cut this out, but like it will be, we'll make sure that it's all ready.
Oh, right, because this isn't now.
Yeah, this isn't okay, now. Okay. But we, by the time this episode airs, so we'll say it's live now.
We were like, they didn't record this yesterday. Like, we also saw the thing where they were like, yeah. Sunday. I'm still not, the verdict is still.
The verdict's still.
But he was like, it was today because I saw the stories and I was like,
did you?
How?
You can take a video and then put it up whenever.
Later.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that boggles my mind is how instant people think Instagram is.
Yeah.
It's and not. Like they buy it. Like, she must be in France.
Yeah.
Just because there's a video or a picture the Eiffel Tower.
It reminds me of that. There was some artist that fooled everyone in her life into thinking that she was traveling in Europe for like 3 months. And she posted, she just photoshopped herself onto various photos and like updated all her social media with these pictures. And then she just hid out in her apartment for 3 months. And it was like this long-term art project kind
God
of
bless
con.
Her.
And I think that that's really smart.
I
she would go out when she had to go out, she'd go out in disguise so no one would
okay,
see her.
Who is this? It's Maria Mbravnik.
No.
Because the artist is present.
It wasn't Marina, but it was someone else. Well, I'll have to find it. It was a few years ago
that
this happened.
That I applaud that. I don't applaud lying and like necessarily tax evasion or like fucking over your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
Yeah.
But like anything that's like social media scam.
For a greater purpose.
100% here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to prove a point, like to make a point about culture and society.
Absolutely. And remember when like the first form of Facebook had, well, I guess it still does have status update mm-hmm. or like, I guess a tweet. Because it was like a new thing on the interweb and I was coming from theater school, like creating characters, if I wanted to write like the color blue makes me want to puke, I never like thought that that was my word. Like mm-hmm. I felt like I could type whatever I want because it could just be the point of view of a character and it's like my little page and I'm an actress. And it wasn't until more and more recently that people take anything typed as
word is bond.
Yeah. And I'm still on the fence about it. Like, I think we should hold people accountable, of course. But like, I also love this girl just, you know,
yeah.
posting pictures of her traveling Europe and hanging out in her apartment.
Yeah. Like when I was doing one of the things I loved about doing the Babe Walker character when I was involved with White Girl Problems was like tweeting and creating from the perspective of like a fictional character. So it gives you kind of carte blanche to say whatever you want.
You give such big words and I love it.
And be like just as free with all your thoughts because they don't belong to you. They belong to someone else. And
absolutely.
So getting back into, and then now obviously like I've found my own voice through mostly podcasting, like physically finding my voice. But
do you make sure to separate yourself from, to make it clear, like that was that character, or were you making it clear that that was a character then or that you are you now?
I make it really clear now because it was not clear during the creation process of that. Like it was never put forward as this person is fictional, but it also wasn't put forward
as
like
the joy of it or
yeah.
the
But it also wasn't put forward as like explicitly as like these three people are creating this thing. Like it was,
I love that gray area.
It existed somewhere very nebulous, which was great for the project, but then also it was really hard for me because I felt like a lot of my voice was tied up. Like a lot of my voice did go into that character, yet I couldn't claim it as my own. And so when that was gone, like when I was like no longer able to have anything to do with that character, then it was like, wait, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, I was like trying to rediscover my identity in a lot of ways. So now I'm like, it's interesting because now I used to look at everything I would see online or everything I would read and think like, is this Babe Walker-y? Like, how would she see it? Would she wear this? Would she do this?
Real method actor.
Yeah. And then I've had
like from the full Stanislavski. Immersion. Yeah.
And now I've had to really divorce myself from that. And not like I've had to like struggle to do that, but I just have naturally over time. And now I have like, now I'm very in touch with like, what do I like what is important to me? And like, that's been like the guiding light of like me creating like these various podcasts and creating a brand around myself and stuff like that. But it's been a journey because it's been a journey. It's weird to go from like, you must have.
Well, you're blowing my mind right now. I'm like surprised it took us this long to like address this. And I love that it's here and now because you introduced me as Freckle and I went through a very similar struggle of like, I was Jason Green performing as Freckle in a vaudeville act around town, Akbar. And, you know, we're like on my social medias.
Yeah.
And it was very clear that it was this Freckle. And then as my gender fluidity, you know, became more and more realized for myself, I introduced myself as Freckle, like I am Freckle, but then without having too much regret in the past, I'm like, well, there could have been things I did as the character that really aren't me. Mm-hmm. So me identifying as Freckled now then is like absurd and it's making me crash. Hey. And to pinpoint it in a very similar situation where it felt the most vulnerable and rocky for me was when I allowed this character that I created to be on a show, Caleb Gallo.
Mm-hmm.
And then where most of the lines were either written by me, improvised by me, or something I said in real life, there were still a handful of situations or lines that were written for me that were things that I knew. I was like, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I'm not saying Freckle's a saint, but Freckle's more wholesome. Like, is a wholehearted. So I thought, okay, well, I'm an actor, so I can play this skank.
Yeah.
Fine. And so that always left a bad taste in my mouth and made me nervous. And I thought, well, fuck anxiety. Let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it came to, oh, do you think you own Freckle? You're out of your goddamn mind. So it was like I had to really pull it back. And I was like, what am I pulling back? You know, glasses and a mini skirt character, or am I pulling myself back?
Yeah.
And that's kind of existential.
Very existential. Weird. And like,
for those of you who know my show, and if you don't, 5 per episode.
Yeah, look at it. Look at it. Look it up.
It'd be interesting.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it just comes down to a struggle for identity. And I think that as for a creator, as you get older and like more sure of yourself and like who you are and what you're put on this world to say and do, like you're always grappling with like a sense of identity. But when you pour a lot of yourself into like a fictional character, it's like, where does that begin? Where do I end and where does that begin? And so, then if it's shared, if it's not just your creation, which was, that was the case in my situation, it's like it makes it harder to like parse out, like to take back what I feel is mine, because it as you said, it's not like, it's not taking anything like physically back, like it's not taking like rights or money or whatever. Like that is kind
somebody
of
told me the word
at the end
life
of the day
rights,
that is like neither here nor there. Like it is what it is, but it's like, how do I take myself back out of this? And I will never be able to take myself out of that because it just is in the DNA of that fictional woman. And so, but how do I then preserve myself and like put myself forward in a way that's different, but like true to who I am? I don't know. It's like,
it how is are you doing that?
I do that via podcasts and writing. And I think being, sharing my like stories and being vulnerable.
Brené Brown vulnerable?
Brené Brown style.
This is the one we did where we got spiritual and Buddhist. And,
yeah.
And I think introduced you to the TED Talk, right? Mm-hmm. I was just like, you got to watch this thing.
And I did, and it was so good. But like, I remember...
I'm not taking a credit over your vulnerability being no, that I told I you this one you thing. I just am like...
I didn't think that you yeah, were.
Okay.
I'm like, how dare you? My yeah. vulnerability is my own.
Yeah, it's my authenticity.
No, and like... I remember when I wrote an article for Broadly about my relationship with my stepmom that was titled Doing Meth with My Stepmom. During the writing process of that, like I didn't... The only other real like writing that I had done aside from like personal like lol essays online or whatever was writing in the voice of Babe. And that was always really like fun and flirty and just like a joyous experience, the writing part of that for me. And it didn't deal with like super heavy subject matter, but even when it kind of did, it was always like a lull. And so I kind of took that attitude into the writing of this like article. And like, while it dealt with really intense like relationships and it's like a, I don't know why it didn't register to me. I just was kind of like, oh my God, this is funny and crazy. And I'm going to write about it and like write this like chunk of my family and like paint a picture of what it is that I like went through with this relationship. And I just thought about it in kind of a Babe way where it like was not necessarily me. Mm-hmm. But then when it came out online, I literally like had a nervous breakdown mm-hmm. because I'd never been like myself in such a public forum. It always had been through or being me via something else, or like it wouldn't have to be like I'm saying something definitive about my life experience and like what I've gone through that now the entire world can read and they can point the finger at me and say, that's that girl like who did meth with her stepmom. And like that was like,
yeah,
so jarring. And that was like the first time that I really had,
let alone
like,
what your family could have thought or said.
Yeah. And like that was terrifying. And that's when I kind of went, I had tried to write a little bit about like expand on that and keep turning it, but it was too hard and painful to like go into that. Like once it was cracked open, it was like, okay, I need like some other outlet other than writing for a while to just like get my sea legs back. So that's like how podcasting has really come into play for me.
I was just going to ask, what is writing for you? Is that, and I'm being pragmatic, but like writing with a pen in, on paper or typing? I'm just curious.
Typing. Both. I mean, yeah.
Did you ever just like talk into a recorder and then listen to it later?
No, but that's something I've considered doing because I hate the act of writing. So it's, I was like,
same. That's the only reason I've asked.
And I know a past guest on Babe, Melissa Broder, so that's how she's written two books, is like she dictates.
Does she just send it to a company and have it transcribed? That's how I would want mine.
She might have a transcriber, but... Wow. Yeah, so she dictate, or she might transcribe it herself. No,
and if like, I had no emotional attachment to the person and just had to write what they say.
Yeah, and so, but that's definitely a more, I think, a way that people do write now, and that's something that I would be interested in.
I'm curious where all the, you know, in courtrooms, how there's the person that types. They must type so fast.
I think they know shorthand, so they type like three letters that mean like there's like a shorthand to it.
Like the first SM text messaging, which something always like that bothered me because that's cool. I want to meet one of those people. Mm-hmm. I want to pick their brain.
You should be one for a day.
I can't type with two fingers.
But it would be like, it would be a good look, I think. with a glab pointy glasses.
And you think I could get that job, like, first of all?
You could con your way into it, I think.
Into the courtroom? Into I don't think the court system is where I'm trying to...
And I see like a messy bun with a pencil through it.
Oh, I see the
typing
look.
Typing away, yeah.
Yeah, in a Progressive commercial. Mm-hmm. Like, but I don't think I should be hitting up the courtroom anytime.
Cast Jason in your Progressive commercial as like a frazzled but effective courtroom document. Yeah, lady.
God, that's also just the beginning of a great film. We start there and then we go into my romantic life, you know, my home life. I'm really curious about the Melissa McCarthy movie.
Oh, the one that's like, Will You Ever Forgive Me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Should we see it together after this?
We could see it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
I don't know how much I...
Well, last night we had a very powerful, magical movie experience together.
We had a beautiful movie experience.
I felt like I was 16 again.
Yeah, I was truly enthralled from beginning to end. We watched Cabaret.
I could, because it was, it's your favorite movie. It's probably the movie I've seen the most times in my life.
I had never seen it. And I, it had been, because I love like the main song from it, or the one that
what
she sings at the end.
Is sitting alone in your room.
Come hear the music play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had listened to that a lot.
There's a lot of pathos in it.
Yeah. There's so much.
Yeah. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom.
Yeah. Which is like what I did. No knitting, but like books and brooms.
Will you knit?
Probably not.
Yeah, I might crochet someday.
I crocheted a little bit at boarding school because there's nothing else to do there. And then, I was like, okay. So I have a scarf now.
I need to go to boot camp and just learn to crochet.
You need to DIY.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a situation to force me into crocheting, but I don't want to put that in the universe because that sounds like Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, and I think I'm best on the studio lot. So.
Yeah. So we watched Cabaret. It had been like in my mind as something that I really wanted to see because I'd never seen it. And then last night the stars aligned and we watched it. It was incredible. Sally Bowles is a babe and also a babe.
Yeah.
Well, she runs the whole gamut of babes. And so
I'm Liza
does.
I'm still learning what that is and all of, you know, what.
The words.
The literature of your world. And I love the lexicon.
Yeah.
And Liza is. And I have two things to say to that. One, Sally Bowles is a character that has been reoccurred. So I'd love to read this play with you. So Cabaret, the musical, is based on the play, which is based on a play called I Am a Camera, which is based on the Christopher Isherwood stories, which is the Berlin Tales.
Oh.
So it's this series.
It's
Sally Bowles is this character that's come through and she's actually supposed to be just like that. Like, I want to be an actress, you know, just a flighty butterfly starlet that everyone's entranced with, but who gets on stage and can't really sing. And that's why Liza, I read this incredible article one time that very recently that was like, why Liza ruined this role for anybody else to do is because Liza kills every number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's, and she's Judy Garland's daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a big header for nepotism and I don't like salivate on like lineage in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, in that one case, it's,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what else could Liza Minnelli have done with her life? Nothing.
Especially since her father's Vincent Minnelli, the director of those 40s musicals.
We had a moment where you were telling me this, kind of the history, because like I'm not outside of Arrested Development and just like knowing her status amongst like the gay community. I don't
or
know.
Or even the general public being like laughing at her.
Yeah.
And we watched one really good scene. Her acting, I don't want to be controversial, but in my opinion, is better than Judy's. And I don't even compare acting. Her acting is effortless and beautiful
She's
in this
amazing.
Film. Like, so natural. If you haven't seen it,
you've got to see it. It's like pure. Yeah.
And she
it is
kills
100%. If there was like a babe film, like movie club, which maybe I'll have to like start.
Yeah.
This is like prime babe material. Yeah. Liza is... the way
close-ups.
She moves, her face is so unique looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no one that looks like that. Anne Hathaway kind of looks like her sometimes.
Sure.
But not really.
I'm not going to give you that one. But.
Okay, that's fine. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And, but her face is really unique looking. Her body and physicality is, I don't know how she does it. She's like precise yet floppy. Like, her body
she's
is just
trained.
Like
trained.
Her body
by
just
Fosse,
flops over and
then,
around.
Yeah.
And then, but then hits the mark with so, and like the singing's good. Her emotions are like,
whether
right
or not
there.
She has a voice like Ella Fitzgerald or Billie Holiday or Judy's, it doesn't matter because her acting, she sells the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all anyone could ask for. And it's not auto tuned, you know, and it's not. Electro, whatever.
Yeah.
EDM. Yeah, the act, like, the, I was mesmerized now that I'm. I, the whole thing is, I used to watch a ton when I was a teenager. I think in middle school. I've seen the movie so many times, and I can still watch it, like last night, take by take, shot by shot, and be blown away and not be bored. And to me, that I notice now at 30 is the amount of close ups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really telling, because if you can really be that natural in a close up, while still being electrifying. I mean, it's a sign of a good actor. And so there was one really good scene and I got up. I think I was like moved truly. And I was like, this is why when people make fun of her or, you know, call her a floozy or whatever, and maybe she became that, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Don't take that away from her and don't take that away from me. Simon says, I said to you at a dinner one time, and I've tried, Lara.
You go. I tried. Wait, what did you say? It was
it's too much to get
night.
Into it. It might, yeah, that, now is my
right
be
now.
The time,
you're like, but. I wish I could.
Oh, that's. I wish I could. And I wasn't acting. I was.
But you sold that line. I was like, mm hmm.
And but I wish I could.
I wish I
can't
could.
Do it now without acting. No, yeah. And that's what's so beautiful about Liza, is she's not acting. Where she is to the nth degree, and that's why it's so marvelous.
Yeah, but you real. I was like, oh, I get why she won the Oscar. Like, there's no
also,
way.
Also, we're
give
obsessed
it to
with every
else.
Outfit.
Every outfit.
We're gonna
I'm
go
ready
in,
to go full Fosse. Like
you,
70s
you pointed
Fosse.
Before she even came on. There was a Kit Kat girl with like a sailor top and
sailor
some shorts
and
that would look perfect.
And some shorts, and they have like kind of like
you look like all the
looking.
Like you have because you have the leg. You so he was obsessed with legs, Fosse.
Okay,
you have that Fosse dancer.
I'm ready to lean
body.
Into
yeah.
this.
Well,
new...
I think we both will. We're near Melrose. We could
work it out.
I think
out.
We free we pause it and take pictures of the outfits and then just replicate it.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's,
this leads into some feedback that I got over the weekend. So I attended a seance on Friday night, and it was with the White Witch of the Hollywood Dell, Patty Negri. And she is truly everything. She has a monthly newsletter called The Witch's Brew, which I highly recommend you subscribe to.
Is just like, this not a joke? Like, it's
this
not
isn't a
all
joke.
Female. No, but it's not just women.
What?
Does
the seance?
The Witch's Brew, the seance?
No. I mean, Patty is a woman.
Yeah.
And a witch, but you don't have to be a woman
to
be a witch.
Just clarifying.
Yeah, no, I had asked her this, and I might try and get her on the podcast too, because I think she'd be a good guest. But during the seance, I know a lot of dead people, or people who have died. So I'm like trying to call in, like, I didn't want to bogart the seance.
You're going to step 40. I went step one. What happened when you walk through the door? What is the seance?
So
paint a picture.
Patty comes over. So I'm doing
comes
it.
Comes over where? You're set it up. Come on.
Okay, I like it. I like
I'm
it.
I'm an
now
active
you're making
listener,
me work.
Yeah.
Now you're making me
yeah.
work. Okay, so my friend Hud and Carter and Elisa live in this like really decrepit mansion in like
I hope
the Hollywood
okay
Hills.
With you calling them out in their decrepit mansion.
They know it. And they're moving out anyway. So that's like part of why they
and we're moving
organized
in.
The seance. And it's a very, like, I think it belonged to Mary Astor at one point, and then the Rolling Stones lived there for a while. Dita Von Teese and Marilyn Manson lived there, like, after they were married. And so it's, like, has a storied history. And it's, like, three stories with a spiral staircase going throughout. Everyone calls it Romanchin. They throw like rager house parties there. And it was very like a house built for parties, essentially. But I think it's attracted lots of spirits like that have come and gone. And like it just
missed the party.
Yeah. And so Patty also lives in the same neighborhood, the witch, and she came over to do a seance at the house and kind of, because now this time of year.
Spooky, ookie, ookie, Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween-y is.
Halloween.
I think we're at. Is the time of year when the veil between the living and the dead is very thin. So you can more easily make contact with the other side.
A la Dia de los Muertos.
Yes, exactly.
I'm half Mexican.
And.
Just getting it out.
Say it.
Yeah. Lara. That's where that comes from. Because I'm always like, how come no one thought
Spanish.
That?
Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Lara.
So Patty sets up. We all kind of nine or 10 of us sit around a table and she sets up. She comes with her various like incense things that she needs to burn and like potions. And there's an oil that you kind of put on the back of your neck. Because that's a entry point, you know, that kind of like there's like a little divot in the back of your neck.
Sure do.
So that she said when you bow your head and you pray, that is like a spiritual entry point. So that's why people bow their heads when they pray, and the back of your neck is like where you can be touched by an angel. And so then she kind of calls in, like she lifts the veil between the two worlds and like calls in spirits to come and interact, and then they kind of show up and you can call in other people that you're wanting to connect with, and they can communicate with you via, she had these two sticks that are like a metal, she holds one in each hand and it's metal on a hinge, so it's like she holds the short edge in her hands, and then it comes out like a long stick, kind of horizontal, two of them. And you can ask spirits questions or they'll just start to move when they sense a presence.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, like, it's not like she's making a move. She's just sitting there holding them. And then when a spirit is in the room, you can ask it yes or no questions. If the answer is yes, they'll cross. And if the answer is no, they'll stay parallel. And it truly, like, I always have believed in, like, mystical shit. But, like, I fully am like, this was real. Like, there were
with you every
spirits in the room.
Where do you want? How long do you have if you want to start with that?
And
I can, it may get emotional, so we'll put a pin in it, but I'll tell you the day after my dad died what happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ready, but.
Yeah. Do you want to tell?
No, I want this story.
Okay. Now. So I called my grandmother on my mom's side, my grandma Hansen. I wanted to
her
like
first name
Elda.
Love it.
Yeah. And she came through, and it's so funny because like when you're like, I didn't see anything. It's not like I saw like a shadow out of the corner of my eye, or it wasn't like anything like that. It was more just like feeling like you see something in your head, or like you imagine how they look or like what they're holding. I can't explain it without it sounding totally like batshit bonkers, but I was just like, it was like Patty's like, she's here. And I was like, I see her, like I just see her in my mind's eye as like in like a pencil skirt, which was what she wore, like a blouse, a very proper, like tucked in with like a handbag, and her hair is done and makeup and everything. She was always one of those women that looked like done 24/7, like wouldn't leave the house without everything in place. And I was like, I see her like standing with like a handbag, because she also worked in a handbag department at the department store. She was very like proper and fashion-y. It's like, I see her standing with a handbag, and she goes, yeah, she says she doesn't like yours.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that tracks, because that mine
Where
is
do you
literally
have it around?
It's in that green bag.
We'll get to it.
It's a Grateful Dead fanny pack. It's like a, it's, she wouldn't
she
like
wouldn't.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think so. And then she just said, I was like, does she have anything to say to me? And then she was like, she says that you need to wear more lipstick.
which I said to you today.
Yeah. And so, and I need to wear lipstick. And then she was like, you're so beautiful, but you constantly negate yourself and you don't understand how beautiful you really are. And like, that kind of made me mad. I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you being so crazy? Like, I got mad.
Okay.
But then
you're like, how about I love you? Not.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fucking classic. Like, and it wasn't even, she wasn't even like a critical, I don't know, but I got mad. And that says more about me, because I think that that just like hits a nerve that goes right to like self-esteem and all those issues that get brought up. And then she was like, no, she doesn't, she's not trying to like fight with you. She loves you. And she just wants you to know that like, you're so beautiful and like, you're just so beautiful and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that was really sweet. And I was like, I don't know. I love a seance moment.
And then it moved on to the next person. Like, that's all.
And then you kind of let it.
Because you said you were there till 3 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of different spirits came through that had to do with like other people. And like we had like.
Till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
When did
so we
you get started?
Started around like midnight or 12:15. And then went till like 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was crazy.
Am I coming next?
You can come. Okay. We should do another one.
You
I'm ready to
do
like
it us.
Yeah, I don't
or
know.
We need her.
I think we need her. She said I was a conduit. She hugged
me. I believe that.
Uh-huh. She hugged me when she left, and she goes, "Good night. You're a conduit." And then like, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like, I'm ready to fully witch out.
Yeah.
I feel witchy.
Yes, you are
witchy and
as a conduit who is a witch. I don't think we even addressed this before. I mean,
what?
That's ultimately what.
That's what you are,
I
too.
Am. Yeah. Of
love. Course.
And that's why, you know, witches see witches.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you, I wanted to watch Cabaret that day, and you said, I thought about Cabaret last night. I mean, we're just.
We're connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hearing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so cool.
Was it
cool to see other people's experiences?
It was, yeah. Like, my friend Carter, his, like, grandmother came through, and her name was Tinker. And Patty started, she was like, something I'm feeling like there's someone here that had, like, a heart issue or some sort of digestion or dealt with indigestion a lot. Like, does that sound, do any of you know anyone that might have had those types of problems? And he's like, oh, my grandmother had those, like, had indigestion, digestion issues, like, her whole life. And then she was like, okay. And she kind of held up her hand, like, in like an upward kind of claw grip motion. She's like, does this mean anything to you? I'm getting this. And he was like, well, she used to watch TV and she'd watch sports all the time and she'd curl up in a chair and like hold her remote exactly like that. And it's just like, what the fuck? And then he's like, what's her name? Blah, blah, blah. And then you verify that it's her with like the sticks. Then it was like, oh, like, she's like, do you have any questions you want to ask her? And he's like, yeah, like, what are you up to now? Like, what's going on?
Playing golf.
Yeah. Like, and so we had, there is a chalkboard in the middle of the table that has like a piece of chalk and like a roller thing. So if you put your fingers on it with other people and then ask a spirit to like draw, like it just moves. And
oh, I'm aware.
Like, what the fuck though? Like, that
is this your first time?
This is my first time ever doing a seance.
Okay.
But I didn't, like, I knew it kind of like moved, but I didn't realize how thin. I just didn't realize. I've never experienced anything with that other plane of existence before.
Right, because usually it's either felt like jokey, like you were playing around, or
I've never done it. I've never like fucked with a Ouija board or anything like that. So I'm just like, but I respect it and I believe. Like, I don't believe that anyone really dies. Like, when you're dead, I don't think you like go away forever. Like, I think that your soul and your spirit exists.
I really believed. I think I just like thought I wanted to be like cool and hip and did believe, and then I like my truth was like, nah, I don't really. Until my dad just came back to me.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, everything you're saying, I'm like,
Yeah, and the talk drew and then stopped, because it stops when the spirit is done drawing. And he looked at it and we were like, oh, this looks like a dog. And then someone else from another angle was like, well, there's also a dog kind of from this angle. And then he's like, there's a dog from that angle. So there were three dogs drawn in one kind of continuous line. So what, depending on what angle you were looking at it, there were three dogs. And he goes, she had three dogs. And then it was like she drew her three dogs. Like that's what she's doing, is like hanging out with her fucking three dogs, watching the Red Sox game and just like loving life.
Yeah.
It's so
well, because they're crazy. Clearly past too.
Yeah.
So they're with her.
Yeah. And but it's like you just don't think about, I guess it's like it's easy to go through life just being like
nihilistic.
I have a plant. There's a lamp over there. I go out the door, onto the street, get in my car, drive down, go run this errand. I have something to do later. And you just don't think of like anything else that's around you or existing on like any sort of other plane aside from like your existence in this moment. And then thinking about death and stuff, it's like you're either scared by it or just like in denial that it happens until it maybe happens to someone close to you. And then that's either terrifying or how do you make peace with that? And like, I don't know, it's just like easy to avoid thinking about this entire other realm of existence.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What happened to you?
You know, my dad called me very unexpected that he was in the hospital to take my dog, his dog, to the kennel because he was in the hospital. I was like, well, I'm going to come to the hospital first. Mm-hmm. I'll check on the dog later. He's like, I got a bunch of tubes tied to me. I walk in. My dad was a very blunt. He's like, I'm dying. I was like, okay. He goes, and don't cry. And I was like, okay. And then within 2 weeks, he basically turned into a skeleton in my arms and died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I intuitively had felt it coming my whole life. So I can't say I was that shocked, but obviously it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, so it was like probably 1 to 2 in the morning when it happened, and then I dealt with the hospital stuff, blah, 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 go back home, and you know, I'm literally just like driving from the hospital to his house because mm-hmm. it's right there where he was at, and I'm in the house, and two friends come over, and because they're like, we'll be with you, like, and I'm like, I'm actually fine, but okay, like, and they come over. We're like all like just kind of sleeping in the bed. You know, one brings whiskey, the other brings cookies. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, and at the time that my dad would like clockwork, like 5 a.m, be in the kitchen watching CNN. It was a hot September. Well, as it is now, it's October 30th and it's 80. It was like 89
hot
degrees.
As fuck
so
outside.
That's not crazy to me now that I think of it.
Yeah.
We had the air conditioning running. And literally at that time, the air conditioning went to heat. And the heater was blasting heat into the house. And my friend, she just literally all of a sudden was like, I'm hot, I'm hot, I'm hot. Which she was more hot than just being like hot from the heater. Mm-hmm. And my guy friend jumped out of bed and was like, Astral, his dog, needs water. She needs water. And he like, and this is somebody who like doesn't own a dog, wasn't like necessarily worried that maybe she truly needed water. She was on her last drip, but like these things just like burst through the house, right? Into my friends, like mm-hmm. not even me. It wasn't like, I was just like, okay. And so, you know, he ran and got her water. At the time, my dad probably would have put the water down for her and turned on the news. That was the first thing. Then a couple days later, because I'm still there. I'm like in the house and I'm like, I'm responsible for this house. Actually being here is the most healing thing I can do. Just being in the space. And I have this dog and she was like on her last leg too. And I think she had fleas. So she would scratch and like that paw would hit the floor and like 8 a.m, I'm not ready to be like woken up to like, so I take her to the backyard, old dog. And the backyard, there's a screen door and a door. She, when the doors open, she paws at the screen and she can kind of get herself in, but when the door is closed, she can't. So I was like, I need to go back to sleep. I'm mourning. I take her to the backyard, close both things. Sleeping. The next thing I know, the back door and the screen fly right open. There's no wind or anything. She's also old and not strong enough to have pushed it, and it's a door. And she also was so old that she was like barely hobbling around. All I hear is her running around the house in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost like filled with life or running something. And I'm like, okay.
Or excited.
Yeah. That she had not had at all this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. And then I have this new car and I'm driving. I don't know where I go. Maybe the grocery store or something. And I come, and as soon as I pull up into the driveway, all of the vents just start blasting air. Like everything just turns on.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't press. And it's a new car. It's not like some old car that would make sense why. And I was like, okay. So like the spirit is with us.
Yeah.
And every time for a good minute, I would, if I just mentioned, oh yeah, my dad passed away, a green grasshopper would be in a friend's house or apartment. And I'm Jason Green, you know, mm-hmm. it just was like, okay. So I just never like questioned the spirits being coming around.
Yeah.
I was wearing my grandmother's gold locket that had my grandpa inside. And this gets a little like ultra, but I was wearing it for a while and I had a negative thought. And I can't exactly remember what it was, but it was something my grandma would probably not appreciate, or some way of like, oh, well, I'll just spend the money anywhere. Something kind of reckless. Mm-hmm. And literally as I thought that, the locket fell off my neck and into my hand.
Wow.
So like, it doesn't scare me and it doesn't surprise me. And I'm not like, are you sure? It's just, and I also don't think it's as point blank. I mean, that's probably why Patty is powerful, because in the times that I've done Ouija board or whatever and nothing happens, I'm like, okay, it doesn't mean it's not real. It's just not happening.
It's not happening now. Today. Yeah.
That's okay.
Not calling it in, or I don't know. Yeah. I mean, she's like been doing this since she was 3. So, I mean, she's a full blown witch.
Yeah.
I love it.
I want to meet her.
I know. You guys would really hit it off.
I think so,
be just two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
Let's have a seance.
I don't do it anymore for some reason, because it doesn't come to me, but I used to have this very strange way of asking people. I would know if someone's dad had died, because I would just look at them and be like, where's your dad? And they'd be like, oh, my stepdad's in Utah. But my dad's passed away. And I just would always be like, I just knew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I think things are around us all the time.
Yeah. What was your grieving process like?
I think I lost my shit and I partied and I drank my way through it.
Mm-hmm.
Recklessly.
What else are you going to do? I mean,
to just be honest, I'm not going to like, yeah, I probably was bad and like just a lot of lack of self-care. And then, you know, getting back on the horse, not the wagon, but the horse, you know, and really for a good minute being like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like minutes and days, I didn't do what may be actually the best thing, and I would encourage someone to do, is just like grieve and mourn and like cry and scream and shout the, if it's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. I kept it together and was like, death is a part of life. This is all in alignment. Everything is wonderful. Everything is perfect. And just kind of like steam plowed through.
Yeah.
And so then it like ended up being like 3 or 4, 6 months later till I just like would just break down and would, I remember being in tax. I was crying so bad in a bathroom stall that I was holding, being like, dad, which like, if anybody had come in, like it, 51, 52, what's that thing?
Yeah, yeah.
It probably would have been looked like that. Like, and actually I walked back in and the next, I was with two guys, guy friends, and I was on the floor petting this dog. And the next thing I knew, I read, it says service dog, do not pet. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And I look up and this kid is in a wheelchair and we start talking. We're having a full-blown conversation and he's been taking classes in theater at Glendale City College. Like he was just this light. He was, and the whole family was at this table and just like probably happy that like I, you know, and was engaging with somebody who probably doesn't get to talk to like young people all the time, you know,
yeah.
with his family. And I remember asking the guys I was with, I was like, was it bad? Like, did I seem like I was unhinged? Cause I was just crying in the bathroom and then petting this dog. And they were like, no, it was like really endearing that you just were like talking about acting playwrights with this kid who was like, that was the part of the grieving that I was like, I felt really, really in tune to people's feelings. I also felt lots of moments of high upswing, like really like think I'm alive, you know, I'm here, I'm present. And I'm in my second year. This September will be 2 years. And I think I'm finally coming out of a real grief and finally like happy again. And yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, I have not lost a parent yet. So it's just different.
Yeah. And
I feel like I'm at the age where a lot of my friend, like it's happening around me and entering the phase of my life where that's the natural progression of how things go. Like, but it doesn't make it any less shocking.
Yeah.
I'm sure when it happens to you personally, like in my head, I can like reconcile, like, this is how life is. And like you were saying, where it's just like, this is life, like blah, blah, blah. But did you were you close with your dad?
I was. And that's very uncommon for, I think, like gay men. And so I was like his like trans Mexican princess. And like we were, we had an understanding. I was my dad's only kid. I come from a big family. And so I mean, he was probably bipolar, but he had this sense of humor that I've never met in my entire life. I'm just a raging alcoholic, but the funniest person at the same time. Incredibly smart, you know, as many alcoholics are. So I think that was hard, like losing my caretaker. Like, yeah. I did not know. I don't still know how to handle a checkbook. Like, there are a lot of things I think that was the most vulnerable part of having the rug swept under me. There was something very, I don't know if existential is the right word. You're so good with words. There was something biological that occurred. And maybe because I feel deeply, and maybe because I choose to feel deeply, and I'm not tooting my own horn or anything, but this man's sperm in my mother's egg is my flesh, and my bones that are right here in front of you are from this man's body. And to have that not be here was always in my, I don't want to say in my thoughts, in my like waking mind, in my awareness.
That's heavy.
Heavy, but like I just remember being really filled with like
hyper aware of the loss, or like that was just gone.
I mean, now I'm almost like, I would have been better about talking about it a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And now I'm almost like, oh my God, it like went by like a dream because I'm coming out of almost a form of depression.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting to see how different types of people reacted to it. Not that I expected anything from anyone more, any more empathy or sympathy from anyone more than another. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't putting that there.
Yeah.
It was just fascinating to see the levels of how people were able to understand, maybe like try to understand. Because all we can do is try. If you don't know what, I don't know what losing a sibling is like. You know that it's something I would just have to try to understand. And could, is it empathy or sympathize with? But I don't know fully.
Yeah.
And then people who just knew, and then people who like couldn't even take it in.
Yeah. Well, I think it all instantly depends on what your change the fucking subject. Yeah, yeah. Is with death and like,
right.
Also with illness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, it's almost like, because I feel like I've been guilty of this, where it's like friends of friends who have lost a parent or a relative, and it's like, I don't know what to say. And it almost becomes easier to not say anything, because it's like, if I speak out loud my condolences and acknowledge that horrible thing happened to someone that I know and is like, that I'm close to in life, that makes it real and something that could like happen to me. So it's almost like, I don't want to catch whatever this is.
Yeah.
So it's easier to just exist in a world where you don't see it and acknowledge it. But that's not right. It just is like, I don't know. Humans are so terrified of death. And I feel like Americans especially have like a really bizarre relationship with death. And like loss and grief.
Which is fascinating about Lies in Cabaret, because losing Judy, her mother.
Mm-hmm. At a young age. Judy Garland was young when she died.
48. And I think Liza was 18. So she was 21 when she did Cabaret. So she was working with all of that pain and stuff. And then her mother not being there when she won the Oscar. So I just brought that in.
Yeah.
And then also, I think like as like Lawlers or comedians, people expect a certain level of happiness or upbeatness from me. So navigating those waters was interesting.
Yeah.
Because it was like, maybe I'm not upbeat, but I don't need somebody to be like, oh, what's wrong? I was like, no, I actually don't need that. I don't need anything other than just to feel what I'm feeling right now. And sometimes that alone is too much for people, depending on the person.
What's the best thing someone can say or do in a situation like that? Losing a parent, in your experience, like, what is
and like having a hard, I didn't realize how much I've like come out of this cocoon, that it's like, I'm having a hard time even remembering, which is crazy. And then I'll probably remember it down. Like, because a friend of mine lost her dad when we were in high school. And then like these two sisters who are practically my sisters lost their dad the first year of college. So I went through like the super awkward, but then being there kind of thing. One of my best friends, Samantha, she came to my apartment and cleaned my apartment. And like, she's not somebody who's going to hire a person to clean her own apartment. You know, it was like that kind of thing. And like, there's also just like just being there more than I'm sorry, or like, it's just like, what's up?
Yeah.
I think.
Like acts of service, and then just like making yourself available.
And like also down to to do, like, for me, somebody want to go part, like, actually, like, go dancing was like, yeah, like, but not that I needed somebody to be like, I'm going to take you out of the house, because mm-hmm. if I needed to be in the house, or just to be there with me,
yeah.
which is, I think, the scariest part. I'm like, and then a new friend, it was like within a month, lost his dad the week I lost my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I knew exactly what he was going through having just done it. And
yeah.
It was like, for me, I was like, what's the funeral home look like? What are the colors of the flowers? What's going on? Like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Just almost like checking in.
Yeah.
Was enough. You know, and that first day it was like, we're going to go play foosball
mm-hmm.
at Cha-Cha's. Let's take photo booths, pictures. Yeah.
When my grandmother passed away, I was like with my mom a lot because it was her mom. And she was the one that had to kind of deal with everything. And I just tried to be wherever, go wherever she was going, like meet her at the funeral home and like kind of walk through everything. And then we both have like somewhat of a morbid morbid mm-hmm. curiosities. So to be able to be like, we want to see the body uh-huh. and like
show
us where the cremation happens, which is stuff I feel like maybe if you were alone in that situation, like if she was alone in that situation, would feel weird about yeah. asking that, because like, maybe that's not, quote, like normal for someone to like want to see that. But like having space to where it's like, okay, both of us are like, we want to see it. Like we want to.
Well, you know, Eckhart Tolle says this thing, because I don't want to steal it, but it's almost illegal in the US to look at a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
We hide death so much. There's no sense of, to see like a, did you know that? Like there are these parameters.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to see it.
Yeah.
I got a morbid sick humor out of just telling almost anyone with the straight face, my dad died.
Mm-hmm.
I still kind of do. I don't do it as
you
much.
You do that a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. But it's like my healing. It's how mm-hmm. I heal. My dad's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the truth. And it's just like,
it's like, was your ultimate truth. For
yeah.
a while.
It wasn't like I was using to get a free drink or something. I was just like, this is truly and utterly what I'm going through.
Yeah. It's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
Or a conversation ender.
Yeah.
It's a great. Then, it's
no,
a
truly,
great...
it's a starter when you get somebody who's like, mine too. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Well let's okay. get into
it. I guess
it.
We're the same.
Yeah.
You know? And then, yeah, other people are like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then other people at weird times being like, well, that's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, oh, okay.
You're like,
didn't read the handbook you're on life that you've been reading, and I'd like to see it, you know? Or like, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's never been a while. Never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I also... yeah, it you'll know what to do with the person and intuitively, I think.
Yeah.
Especially you.
In the past, like I remember I had like two best friends who were younger sisters and I was like really close with them, and their father got, our families were really close, and their father got ill. He got ALS, which is just a degenerative like disease that kills you over years, where your body just like shuts down like inch by inch, and it's horrible. It's just unfathomable. And I remember we were all in the house when he passed away, and I remember getting so angry with my girlfriend, because it was like she went into just like kind of shut down, like nothing, like not registering it. And I don't know. It just made me really angry. And I was young then. I was like,
yeah.
You know, I was in like 7th or 8th grade.
Right after.
Yeah. And it was just like, I don't get it. Like, why aren't you crying? Like I was crying. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? And it's like expecting someone. There's such interesting moments where it's like, and I've had to do this a lot and realize like not everyone processes their feelings the same way I do. And there's not just like, just because I feel so like convicted in my emotions mm-hmm. and feelings doesn't mean that anyone else is going to feel that way. And like, it was so hard for me to like understand at the time. And then I go into like anger and judgment and it's just like, what the fuck? Are you like fucking crazy? Like, and now I look back and I'm just like, ooh, that was like a real, not my best moment. But it's also just like how, I don't know, moments like death and sickness and all that shit, I mean, like bring out truly so many different like raw.
Yeah, I think I lucked out having 2 weeks was probably the longest 2 weeks, but like, thank God it wasn't 8 months of watching my dad get sick and die, which people have, and I don't have that relation. Also, that if somebody gets hit by a car and they're dead instantly is a different relation than having to hold him and for 2 weeks and becoming a skeleton. Like, so I think all of that then, for me, it was always, I had, as soon as I began coping and I had to differentiate the trauma of losing my dad and then the trauma of those 2 weeks in the hospital. Cause there was, and then I got used to like walking through the doors and walking by the coffee stand and saying hi to Bill at the front desk, you know, like it became a routine that then I missed. Like, and so there was like all of that and the smells and the textures.
Because that becomes part of your life in a way.
Yeah.
Like death and the act of dying becomes part of your life and your memories and your life experience. It's a real mind fuck.
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy.
Death, I remember being
life's greatest
really,
doozy.
Yeah, totally. A new musical.
Yeah.
I just thought of something really quick. I remember being really annoyed with my uncle, who was my dad's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Just like utterly, like any word he spoke, I was just like, shut up. Like I hated him.
Yeah.
And that was something, you know, and it was like, were we competing with brother versus son of this person? Like what is one more or the other? There isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh, back off. And my dad didn't even want you here anyway. He told me, and I just told you to come because I felt like that was the right thing to do.
Be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't expect it to take a heavy turn. But I always love it when it does.
I hope that wasn't too heavy.
I don't think it was too heavy. I don't think there's such a thing as too heavy on this podcast, in this universe.
Well, I also am like, I could take a lot now. Like, there's not really anything somebody's going to talk about that's going to freak me out, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it takes a lot. Death is almost a kind of a final frontier for me in a lot of ways. Because, I mean, I've experienced it in terms of, like, friends and people that I've known that I was close to passing away, but with the parents and stuff, it's just like, it's a totally different beast.
Yeah, it kicks you hard.
All right, reader mail time. Hi, Lara, an esteemed guest. That's you.
Yay.
I've been pretty busy lately slamming through all 5 seasons of VPR so that I could get more Lara content. I tried it once, got through 5 or so eps, and the emotionally broken psychos just didn't grab me at the time. But for some reason, once the school year started, I was much more compelled by their journey. So I'm a little late listening to this week's Babe, since I'm trying to start catching up with Sup and the bonus content while also suffering from the troll that is Hulu still not having season 6 up. So that leads me to my question. You and Ed discussed so many things that applied to my recent life and my physical and emotional journeys this week, including apparently forgetting to flush a midnight brew while staying in a VRBO in Savannah with my mom and stepdad. I feel the accusation was false, but I digress. Your talks of free trips and boarding groups early and scamming really had me reflecting on my inherent ability to scam and get any sort of free shit. My problem is that I'm a terrible liar and I don't really believe in wasting my time trying, so I just don't. I always assume that the one time I bust out of the bubble is the time I'll get caught and an example made out of me. The only times I've gotten things for free from Amazon were when an order legitimately didn't arrive, so I called about it and got hooked up. Anytime I get a gift, I feel guilty, but then I also wonder why I'm not getting more gifts, though I don't want to often buy things for other people because I'm a broke-ass teacher. My wishlist journey is truly the only time I've gotten gifts for nothing, and I'm still boggled by it. When you first put out the call for teacher wishlists on the Facebook group, I was totally honest and said the only shit on my wishlist was for me because I was tired of spending my own money on ungrateful heathens. And both Laura and a reader got me books. Columbine was a dark wishlist item. You were right, but I was very enlightened by it, and I will cherish it forever. So, how do I start living this fabulous life where people just give me things because I'm a loller? I'm intense, but also pretty funny. In smaller doses, most people tend to find me entertaining. I also tend to think my Twitter is pretty niche, but hilarious, but only 65 people agree. I'm contemplating a job or even career change next year, which would lead to a lot more financial instability potentially. So if I could start a side gig as a swag hustler, it would probably be my best life plan. I just don't know how to even ask for things without feeling extreme guilt. All of this is compounded by the fact that I'm an asexual aromantic, meaning I can't even properly manipulate men for extended periods of time. The biggest troll of my summer, beyond O'Hare trolling me Lara style twice this month, was finding out that my mom is giving my sister money for her destination wedding, but that she wasn't going to give me shit for a down payment on a condo if we're all just passing money out for life choices we want to make, and I majorly failed in that negotiation and just cried, and then she moved on, so that's a major bullshit that I'm not dwelling on at all in my 6 year in my one step up from Sandoval apartment. So, blah, blah, blah. Any starter guilt-free scammer tips that I can start living the life that I've always been curious about? I couldn't even get Hulu to tell me the real dirt on when VPR season 6 was coming on, and I had to find out through the group. They replied to me on Twitter and they were like, TBD, lol, we'll pass it on. Why don't people just recognize that my core is pure and I'm an honest person, even if I come off as crotchety and crass and also cry at any sign of confrontation? Love and light as I ramble on. So I guess the question is, how do I scam with a strong moral compass? I feel like you can speak to this.
It's so funny. Those are two words that I thought about earlier today in reference to a friend who I was going to give advice to about like scamming. And I was like, well, first of all, the intention of scamming, to even use that word, it's got to come from a moral place and just be a joke. Like, it's not about taking,
it's not taking,
it's more advantage. Robin Hood style, like, yeah. It's like it's the joke of the joke. I don't know. First of all, when you first started reading, I was like, it sounds like I wrote this to you. There's a lot of similarities.
Okay, so you said a really good quote to me. I think it was over Ed's birthday weekend or something, where you said, this business is one built on sympathy or something. Oh, like,
no,
that.
No, Judy Garland said, this okay, is the yeah. sympathy business.
This is the sympathy business.
I also like to say, if I got paid $20 for every laugh I've ever given mm-hmm. or conjured, I'd have $1 million.
Yeah.
So your company is worth gold. Your energy is palpable. I'm a true socialist, so I believe that all money is each other's money.
Mm-hmm. How convenient for you.
I also think, and you've solidified this for me for sure,
mm-hmm.
but I think that the World Wide Web and this big, big planet is full of different types of people. And if somebody wants to give me something, a present, a dollar, so be it.
Yeah.
I had a 30th birthday and I said on my Instagram in a very comedic tone, well, I'm 30, throw a bitch a buck. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go to the Madonna Inn. What's a buck? I wasn't saying, hey, can you give me a buck? I'm really having a hard time. Yeah. So if you want to combat that, if anybody wants to be like, people are struggling, it's a joke. And people also are grown enough
to understand,
send a dollar in Venmo, you are the person sending it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, $1,500 later, I had a great time.
Yeah.
So, and I feel that they wanted me to spend that money on my party.
Yeah.
Including getting Lara a room there.
And I loved that party. It was so fun.
I said, got you a room. She got in her car. Would you drop the...
You texted me and you were like, well, I got you a room. And it was 5 p.m. in L.A. on a Friday. And I finished whatever I was doing. I think I was editing a podcast episode. Closed my computer, threw some shit in a bag, and white knuckle drove all the way to San Luis Obispo. It was like a 4-hour trip. I didn't stop to eat, didn't stop to pee, did not stop one time. I just like, I was on some Adderall earlier that day because it was a very Adderall drive. Yeah. But like, it was, and it was really fun.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
And I was so happy that not only was I gifted something out of a joking scam, but I could share that with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like actually made it for me because that's...
But it also is like, I think in order... Scamming is definitely one way of looking at it, but I look at it as like you provide a service to the world, right? Like you're a comedian, you're a performer, you're making people laugh and giving them content. And so if they want to, it's a trade. So like,
absolutely,
I don't go into any situation expecting that people are just going to get me and give me stuff for free apropos of nothing, which...
No.
When it does happen, which it does to all of us at one point or another, it's amazing and miraculous, but that's not something that happens all the time. I don't think
you don't
want
to trust those laws of the universe. Like, yeah. I don't think the universe works in that flow.
So I would say make something something of value that people, that speaks to people.
Did
people
we say
like.
Her name?
No, I usually keep.
Yeah. Honey, start creating, you know, I say pick up tap dancing.
Oh,
get a feather boa.
Mm.
Get a.
I like that you give advice in creating in mediums that are dead to the rest of the
bring
world.
Them back.
Bring them back. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do the ones that are alive and thriving.
Yeah.
Don't try to make a lip gloss. You won't compete.
Yeah.
We learned that last night.
Find your niche.
Yeah.
And
maybe
then,
you're really good at making puzzles and doing that gloss on them and selling them as like framed puzzles.
Sounds like she maybe wants to be more of like a comedian or something like that.
Okay.
Well, put your lols out there in the world. You never know what will happen. But a lot of it is like you have to put yourself out there. And
all of it, you have to put yourself
And you have to come to peace with the financial instability aspect, which is that is
really
not
good.
For everyone.
That's
an element that truly is not for everyone.
Yeah, for the few couple of things that have been really great in my life, I've had doors slammed in my face and I've been told no 1,000 times. For every part I've gotten, I'd say there's 1,000 parts I didn't. But John Waters always says, a no doesn't hurt.
No.
Ask for everything you want.
Yeah, ask for everything. Always ask. That's something I've learned in my 34th year on this planet is, can I have it? Can I have that? Can I go in there? Just because it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. A no is, and it's funny you say, like, John Waters said no doesn't hurt because no's have really hurt me in the past. Oh. And so I'm like always trying to reconcile, like, how do I make it so that the no's don't. I think because I just internalize it so much and I view it as like you're rejecting me, who I am. And it goes back into like what, like
you
shadow
take
dark.
It personally.
Yeah, I take it personally. So it's like, how do you not take it personally?
And
if
not
like,
be a sociopath.
Yeah.
Well, I think I said this on the last one. And if it's okay, if I go into an allegory, you can always cut it later.
Mm-hmm.
I realized something where I was like, what people think and say about me truly has nothing to do with me. If you looked at me and were like, hey, redhead, I'd be like, my hair is not red, so you're okay.
Yeah.
And if you were like, well, you're not smart, I'd be like, no, I'm not saying I'm a genius either, so okay.
You're like, who told you?
Yeah.
Like, that was one of my things.
And then if somebody was like, you're not talented, I'd be like, I can record myself right now, and I like what I do, and that's really at that point all that matters.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you don't, like, I'm not for everyone,
mm-hmm.
and you're clearly not with 65 followers on your Twitter. No, but maybe you just haven't put your... Also, where do you live? I mean, there's also so many variables
to this
question.
There's a lot of variables. Yeah. I think, finding, for me, it's always like, everything I've started off has been, that's been creative and led to somewhere, some sort of success, either via it like becomes another job opportunity or yields money or whatever. The things that I've found the most rewarding are always things that started with no ambition to make money. It was just like, this makes me laugh so hard and like really I enjoy it. So I'm just going to do it because I enjoy it and it makes me happy and I'm good at it. And those are like the three things. Totally. That's all I can bring to the table. And then whatever comes out is what comes out. Yeah. So I would say that you find, if you can find that, whatever it is, like that you want, in whatever field it is that you want to do, then you're going to be.
And let's people not will count out tap dancing. It might be.
I love make puzzles. Maybe you're really good at making a puzzle and putting gloss on it.
And putting it in a picture frame. Who knows? Don't limit yourself. Another thing is, I did a music video for a friend where I'm in a cat costume. Have you seen it yet?
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch it.
Thanks.
We'll link it.
Okay.
We'll link it out.
And I sent it to my mom and she goes, "Oh, great. Did they pay you?" And I was like, "Nah, I just did my friend a favor." And rather than getting mad, she writes back, "That's so you." And I was like, you know, yeah. And I love it. I love the video. I think it's my best work.
Well, we didn't get paid for the Grizzly Bear music video.
No.
But I didn't want to get paid. I got paid. I was paid in getting cast in the video.
Yeah.
Which was basically I just asked Ed over and over and over to put me in it.
Yeah. And I also our my way really fun trip video. In...
In St. Was not... Kansas City.
Kansas City that I'll never forget. And Franck. And the bed
bugs.
I love
that I'll never forget where you couldn't remember the name. Where was it? Where was it? I was like,
we live in Spanish style apartments.
Yeah. You know. Okay. Lara, first off, I'm sitting in my car lolling to babe after a long day in clinic seeing Long Beach's finest preggo gals and ladies with chronic pelvic pain. Thank you for making my commute tolerable and helping me realize that I need to be spending more time leaning into all my crystal loving woo-woo tendencies. Indeed. Anyway, as the subject suggests, I'm an OBGYN as well as a total pumphead / babe enthusiast. Regarding your surprise cycle, totally normal to get thrown off when you're traveling, less likely to be related to all the straight D you were around, though I've definitely heard weirder things. Hope this helps in the non-creepiest way. Always happy to be the babe MD on call. P.S. Just catching up on sup stories. Love where your head's at. Strongly feel that Kristen lived as a priestess of some desert tribe in Morocco during her 1940s European sojourn. Love. Okay. I'm glad to have any intel because my period cycle got fucked up while I was on tour with Ed. Mm-hmm. And I was under the impression that it was just like around too many straight guys and it mm-hmm. just like threw. But I think Close. It was, circadian rhythms.
So that wasn't a question. That was just a comment.
Yeah, that was just a comment.
Should I read one?
Yeah. Do you want to read one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hi, babes. I'm a 20-year-old lesbian who is prone to panic attacks. I just had one and had to walk out of class. How do I save face in front of my classmates, my professor, and especially the girl I like?
That's some juicy. Yeah. That's a juicy one.
Yeah. Well... If it's happening right now, take a deep breath. Go to the nurse. Get out of it. Go home.
Definitely go home.
Yeah.
Save face. I don't think you need to save face. People have panic attacks all the time. It's a way of, it's a lifestyle. And if anyone's judging you for it, then they're shitty.
Yeah.
But that being said, I understand being like, embarrassed of,
and who
like,
cares about the teacher?
Yeah,
that's the last person I ever cared about.
You're basically paying his bills, so
he can sit my tax paying a little
heavy
dollars.
Breathing. Yeah,
exactly.
I
you kill me.
And the girl you, I mean, I know, like, I have a friend in med school who has had panic attacks and has had to leave a classroom like in the middle of giving a presentation, which is not ideal.
You should have had me do it.
People have empathy and have empathy for yourself and like figure out what is triggering these panic attacks.
Oh, I will say as a strong, confident, like powerful performer, if I see somebody getting even an ounce nervous, my heart is like, oh, it's kind of really cute. Like
you maybe have like a sympathy.
Oh,
response.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty universal.
Yeah.
Like no one's really going to hate on you if you're like suffering.
Yeah. If I saw someone like really freaking out, I'd be like, are you okay? Like, what can I do? Can I get like a glass of water?
It's like,
but I think getting to the bottom of why the panic attacks are happening is your first stretch. Yeah.
I'm assuming that the girl you like, oh, you said lesbian. I'm assuming that the gay shame that happens to our kind is a lot at 22 in college, depending on where you live. You didn't say, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's hard enough to be a lesbian, even harder when you're panic attacking all over the place. What? Am I saying this wrong? Am I being offensive? No. I don't mean to be offensive.
No.
Let me know if I'm overstepping my boundaries.
My Look, if you're a straight white male
having a panic attack, it's a little
dorky.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
No, we love you.
Now I feel like
I'm wondering if the girl you have a crush on is straight or gay, and if that's part of it. And whew, that's a journey that took me from 22 to 30 to get through. Actually, no, by 23, I like stopped having crushes on straight boys. Mm-hmm. But I knew from like 15 to 23, I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
And now, like in work situations or other situations, if there's a straight... Yeah, it's weird. The great thing about coming out is that you... I can truly say I like don't even have crushes on straight people. I'll be like, oh, you're hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are a sexy person, sure. But a crush is not just thinking someone's hot. Crush is when you get that thing in the stomach.
Yeah.
I get the thing
you
in
like
the stomach.
You like want to be with them.
Yeah. And I just... It's so clear now. I don't feel that way about straight people. I don't want to mm-hmm. be with a straight person. Mm-hmm. They're probably boring.
Yeah.
Straight men. Sorry.
No.
For you.
What? I like bisexual guys.
Exactly.
That's what I want. My Sally Bowles moment.
Yeah.
Dear Lara and TBD. That's you.
TBD.
Long time reader, many time writer. I was just listening to the Babe episode with Abby McBride. I too went on a Wiccan journey during high school. In the book I read, it was all about nature and giving back to Mother Earth. This book encourages you to go to the forest on a full moon, dance naked in a ring while holding hands with your friends and celebrate nature. As a 10th grader in the late 80s, that was a big fat no. This is where my Saxon witchcraft journey ended. I just wanted spells in hopes of making my dog live forever. However, I also bought some tarot cards and a book on how to read them. I read everyone in my oral communications English class's fortune, but I just made most of it up. I thought maybe I could join the carnival and be a mystic at the very least. My question for you is, in the fourth grade, 1984, Time Life put out a book, a series called Witches and Wizards. I snuck into my parents' room, used the landline phone with the cord. I'm so old that cordless phones hadn't been invented yet. Called the 800 number to place my order. The commercial kept saying you could put it on your credit card or POD. I didn't know what POD was, but I thought it would be better than stealing my mother's credit card. The operator told me POD meant paid on delivery. I asked her, do I give the money to the mailman? She just lolled and said, no, mail the money in once you receive the book.
God.
My allowance.
Miss POD.
I know. I'm ready to POD a lot of things.
Yeah.
My allowance was 50 cents a week. The book was $11, so I had to exchange bills for change with my sister and brother and finally got my $11. Then it said, don't send cash, but I was doing this in secret. My parents were not to know that their 10-year-old daughter was more interested in the dark arts than Hebrew school. I took the chance, mailed them the cash. I forgot the next book in the series showed up 2 months later. My mother got on the phone with Time Life people and started screaming at them, why are you sending my fourth grader these books? I wanted them, but she nixed my entire dream of owning the whole series. I probably called her a bitch, and I'm sure I got grounded. How babe was it that in fourth grade I was fully on board to take a witchcraft journey? I truly feel like it was a fully babe moment. Also, me and my husband love drawing together. Ling Ling should feel no shame. Love and light. There's a picture of the book. Oh, nice.
You're cool.
You are cool.
I like you.
I would love if my children got into like weird shit. Like, I'm excited. Like, that would be one reason why I would want to have kids, is so that they would be like...
I would love if my children were so compassionate not to steal my credit card and do a POD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice.
And then
nice.
Raise them. Like, that... You're
a good kid.
Did well. And you know what? I'm glad she yelled at Life...
Yeah.
Magazine for sending you the dark arts. That means she cares too.
Everyone cares.
You know what?
Everyone cares and is very respectful of each other.
Yeah.
And you have curiosities.
Yeah.
Did you have any restrictions on like the types of media you were allowed to consume as a young child?
No, and I think that's partly why I'm such a freak. Like, and my dad raised me watching Quentin Tarantino movies and, like, mm-hmm. David Lynch in, like, fourth grade.
Love.
And then one summer, because he was a Vietnam vet, was like, we're going to watch all the Vietnam movies, like mm-hmm. A Reindeer Games and Born on the 4th of July and Full Metal Jacket. And I've been traumatized.
You mean Deer Hunter?
Deer Hunter. Reindeer Games. Whatever.
I got
and
it.
And I was truly and utterly traumatized to the core of my being.
Mm-hmm.
And realized, wow. But no, and like I was like a latchkey kid. I had four brothers and sisters. Both my parents worked all the time. So I think my first rated R movie is Barbed Wire with Pamela Anderson.
Love. That's a good one to start in.
Yeah.
I always like secretly watched that movie when no one was home because it would be on the movie channels and I just wanted to see boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun. And also I was like addicted to Melrose Place and Ally McBeal as like a kid, not mm-hmm. knowing really what was going on. And because I spent summers with my grandparents, I watched soap operas
with
my
yeah.
grandma and just was like invested mm-hmm. beat by beat.
My grandma loved soap operas.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, she was a big soap opera person. Yeah,
and Naps at Four. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I remember saying so solidly, I said, when I grow up, I want to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really manifested itself, yeah. quite frankly. Because I wanted to be like them, in other words.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to really watch TV growing up, like at my mom's house, but we were always
because
encouraged.
Your parents separated at what age?
My parents separated at 8.
Okay.
So my mom like would not, she would maybe let us watch like 30 minutes a day or mm-hmm. something like that.
Now that I've met your mom, I can see it.
Like, yeah. It was no TV at mm-hmm. household.
Do you think that made you read?
Oh, it made me read a lot because I was
love
like,
that, though.
Yeah. So every summer, then there, I would always participate in like summer reading competitions where you would just try and read and read and read all the books that you could, and then you would get prizes for them and stuff. But that's when I got really into reading like R.L. Stine and Christopher Pike, like
yeah.
scary books. So I'd go to the library and I'd rent out like 20 books at a time and just like stay up late, like under the covers, blazing through like
my grandma
terrifying
would have
tales.
She would have preferred you over me.
Love that. Well, my mom went through all the books that I had gotten one day and then like called me into her room to tell me that like she was not going to let me read Christopher Pike books anymore because there were characters like having sex in them.
Uh-huh.
And like even describing characters as sexy was like a big red flag for her. So then she like just took away all the Christopher Pike books. And I was just like, oh.
Which then made you probably fascinated.
With yeah. Then I was like, I
sex
need.
Was.
Yeah.
Have you talked to your mom about this since?
Not really, actually.
What do you think she would say right now?
I think she was just like, she always had my best interest at heart. It wasn't.
Like, what would she say right now? Like,
she'd be like,
we called her on speakerphone.
Well, she'd be like, they were inappropriate for a young girl.
That.
Mm-hmm. But R.L. Stine characters,
not so much.
They weren't having sex in those books. It was more yeah. they were just like getting killed. But it's interesting to think about like American values and especially like religious values, how you find your daughter reading books about murder. I guess R.L. Stine is like ghost stories and murder.
Slashing.
Yeah, up. Slashers. And the violence always gets a pass over like sex and sexuality. It's
interesting. I think about that a lot considering my work in Caleb Gallo is, say, slightly sensual, evocative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not erotic.
No.
I don't have a sex scene in it. But
but you're like a sexy, vampy Jessica Rabbit type of character.
And in person.
Mm-hmm.
And on my Instagram, and because I loved Elvira. But I loved Elvira when I was 2.
Yeah.
You know? And so I thought about, and I have a young demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 3 nephews, you know? And I think about at times, oh, God, is my work inappropriate or not, like, suitable for young audiences? And I don't really have a perfect answer other than it's so funny that I would even question myself that when like gun violence is so just accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And also, my sexuality is not, again, erotic. It's like Jessica Rabbit. It's literally like a 40s, you know.
It's vampy May West and like campy. Yeah.
And the only thing that probably the shame that would be stirred up is, oh, I'm a masculine, feminine, gender fluid person, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Who's being, you know, I wouldn't even say lecherous. I would say more like
flirtatious.
Or just harmonious.
I like harmonious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what...
Like, were people screaming in outrage when Marilyn Monroe came out?
I don't know.
Because sometimes I look at that, I'm like, that's more...
In your face, like, sexuality.
But covered, but, like, effervescent. I mean, that's why it's lasted so long. That's why we could still look at her image or watch a clip of her and still be blown away.
I wonder if I had been... Because there was then another time where I wrote, like, an erotic letter to myself. And I, like, buried it in my desk. And it was, like, erotica at a young age. Yes. And my mom found it and then was like, I found...
She was really going through... She went through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she was...
Now, is this because of where you are, because of the time, because of religion, because of, like, the state? Or do you think this was specific to, like, your mom?
Probably my mom, just being, like, nosy, kind of. I don't know what it was she was looking for, because I feel like I was pretty young then when I was doing this and, like, reading these
and
books.
The
like,
oldest,
probably, like,
right?
Third or fourth grade. Maybe, like, fourth or fifth grade. I just always had a really advanced reading level, so I read up. And, like, then I was... I've always been drawn to, like, horror. Like, and I love reading that. And it was just, like, I was voracious and, like, wanting
to... So she found this...
So she found my erotic letter that was, like... It was like, it was just embarrassing. And she was like, I found it. And then I was so embarrassed. And like, I was like, oh, I didn't write that. Like, someone else did. And I don't know. Like, blah. Like, and it's like, I wonder what would have happened if I was just like encouraged into like maybe writing, like, cause that's just self expression. Like, obviously, there's something to express there.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Is that okay to like, I don't know. What if I was encouraged to like we check
it all
in,
just
and
comes
it's
back
like
fundamentally to how our country views sex, which is this shame, puritanical, women are beneath men. Eve seduced Adam into biting the apple, like patriarchy, and we're not. It's almost feels forbidden to say that. We all come from one thing, sex. Our parents had sex. We came out of our mother's vagina after our father's penis injected. Like, it's almost like that with death.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to know where we came from or how we die.
Yeah. And yet it's like an integral part of who we are.
Basic.
Like literally the core of who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like...
Well, do you have a religious background?
Yeah, I grew up Southern Baptist.
Okay, I didn't know that. That changes everything. And before we started miking ourselves, I was like, some of the questions I have about what we talk about in references to people or ourselves and addiction have a lot to do with what I want to know is our fundamental spirituality, which I don't love that word. Other than it being a barometer for compassion that I read somewhere. But I didn't know you had a religious background, which also makes sense. Do you think your mother was driven by...
Yeah. So she's very religious and like...
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
And very active in the church and, I mean, in Baptist church and Southern Baptist, like, it is real. You don't talk about sex, really.
Republican?
Mm-hmm.
Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Mom?
Not like a Trumper, but I think voted that way as opposed to like
so
voting
trans
for
is.
I don't know exactly. I don't get into like really detailed conversations like that, because I feel like they always end up in a place that I
just feels gross.
It feels bad because it's like, I don't think she doesn't have like a hateful bone in her body. But I don't think a lot of older Republicans in like Bible Belt really understand what they're complicit in when they vote for someone like Donald Trump, or they vote for things that are creating, that are taking away women's rights. I don't think they see it like that. They see it like something completely different.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, but I have a real intolerance to the way, however that is that they're seeing it, because it just is like, it just fires me up, and then I'll say something I regret. It just like doesn't ever
and
go.
It's also just interesting probably for you to be like, you're her daughter and you are primarily liberal, and yet you're like, I didn't just pick up the way my mom thinks and be like her. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my own mind.
Yeah.
So then that probably also is double infuriating when you look at people. You're like, how do you not have your own mind?
Yeah. It's hard.
Maybe that's just
part of the journey.
Or the gifted and talent. I mean, I hate those words sometimes, but
I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
A consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But also that makes sense. You read at such a level. You were...
have always been curious. Yeah. Always wanted to like know more or like learn about XYZ. Things that are like more fringe were interesting to me. At a young age, like for me, growing up in a place like Oklahoma City, which has gotten to be like cooler and has more culture, but at the time was really like in my teen years, there was nothing going on. So to me, fringe activity always seemed like drugs and alcohol. And so that's like where I went with that, which was not the best use of my time or whatever, but it was still like,
but you also knew, like, you were probably one of those like gay people. I want to meet them.
Yeah. I was curious about gay people.
Yes. You were like, I want to.
Yes.
Yeah. I imagine that you were like,
oh, I kind of do the shimmy shake
and all that. I imagine like three other girls like in this like flashback to like middle school being like, gay people, that's weird. And then like trailing off and you're like, I'm interested.
There was one gay guy that like was in our school, but I don't think he was out, but like everyone knew he was gay. But I was like, this guy's annoying. Like, I don't.
Truly. Yeah.
And then then in boarding school, there were a handful of gay guys. So then I got to like actually like hang out with some gay guys.
Oh, I didn't even mean like the people interpersonally. It's probably not. I was going to say the people you saw in media, but then all you saw in media were like hairstylists or wedding planners.
Yeah, I didn't really
fully. You weren't thinking like Andy Warhol.
No, and then I got, when I was 20 finally, or like 19, and I graduated from high school and moved back home, my like best friend was an older gay man, like in his 40s. Still and is. That was, yeah, not much has changed. And then I was like, oh my God, gay guys are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious if, I don't really know much about Baptists, and I'm not judging religion in any way, and never would. To each their own. But I'm curious about how much of that led her to like scouring through your drawers.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was like letter. Not a lot of.
Did you ever get told like you're going to hell?
There were. I mean, that's the whole basis of Christianity, is like you accept Christ into your heart and get baptized and accept that like Christ died for our sins so that we could have eternal life and like go to heaven. But you have to like accept that that's the deal. And then you get baptized and then you're, I guess, just going to heaven after that. And that felt like, I remember when I decided that I wanted to get baptized, and I was like with my mom in my room and I cried, and it felt like a very like real moment. And then it happens, but then it's like, what does this mean exactly? Like, what is it? It felt like a big life moment, as far as like when you reach age like 7 or 8, like what all my friends at church did, like it's like your rite of passage. Mm-hmm. But it didn't have deep meaning to me.
Right.
I was just like, oh, this is what you do. Like, so I haven't found any sort of like deep meaning in Christianity. Aside from just like the thought of there being like a higher power or like the universe is more, there's some sort of like deeper meaning in the universe and something that's always stuck with me. And the more religions that I've like studied, which is a more serious term for what I've done, like Googled various religions and like dabbled in Buddhism, which is the one that I relate most to. But it seems to me like every religion at the end of the day is saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just with like different casts of characters.
Yeah.
So it's all remakes of like the same movie. And like then people fight about which one is the best version. Right. But like you can just choose whatever you want. And like the biggest thing I've gotten out of it is like, if it's something that gives you faith or a reason to live or a way to get through like whatever hard times you experience or trolls that happen. And the like thought that like you're never going to get like God or whatever, life or the universe is never going to give you more than you can handle. So every problem that happens is like it's happening for a reason and it's like a learning experience, which I think Buddhists really feel like that. Mm-hmm. And that's resonated with me the most.
Yeah, I think that if had I had grown up in a family that was like religious, whether it was Christian, Catholic or Baptist, I would have felt whatever it is that I feel about acting and been like, oh, yeah. Oh, well, let me tell you something about God. Mm-hmm. I would just get really into be like,
yeah,
because Jesus said it. Jesus loved it. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen? Does everybody feel that right now? Can you feel that in your blood? Can you breathe in the life of Christ right now? Like, I would just fully have been a preacher.
Yeah. You'd be a great preacher.
Oh, I would have had like, yeah.
Yeah. And I love like my favorite parts of it is like, just like the love element or like community element or feeling like you're part of something or being like moved by something greater than yourself.
You like to speak in tongues.
I didn't ever speak in tongues. <Just kidding. laughs> But like,
I'd like to.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you could. Give me enough booze. And I've
been speaking in tongues for the last 10 years. Yeah. I was speaking in tongues at your show the other day.
No. You were speaking in tongues.
We don't go there.
Lada.
Those tapes were secretly found, destroyed.
They were. I was so... I lolled hard when I realized that whole thing had been destroyed, where no one would ever get to hear the heckle of Freckle at the live show.
Freckle's heckle.
Lost in the ether. Well.
Here I am.
And so it is.
Yeah.
I think we should wrap it up, but I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for being my guest.
Of course. Bring me back.
I will bring you back.
If the audience demands
put you to work.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see the audience reaction.
And yeah. We got kind of heavy this episode, but I think it's good to mix it up.
You're in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it'll drop people into a deeper place into their own bellies.
Yeah. If you, are feeling compelled to write me an email, please do so. Babepodcast@gmail.com. Just Jesus. I was like, Freckle, you tell me. You can follow Jason on Instagram @AuntFreckle. You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/AuntFreckle, or you can follow me and support this podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/babepodcast. Follow me on Instagram @LarsMarie. Write me emails. Tell me what you think. Demand more Freckle in your lives.
Watch cabaret.
Write me an email about that.
Sally Bull says, does it really matter so long as we're having fun?
Amen. Bye. Babe?